सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति 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 हरि ओम मे ब्राह्मण प्रोटेक्टर्स May he nourish us. May we work together with great energy. May our study be vigorous and fruitful. May love and harmony dwell amongst us. Om, peace, peace, peace. So we shall begin. Now he takes up the topic of the universe. Universe, how did it become, how did it come into existence? There are so many theories about it, theories of creation. This one will discuss that. At the end of a cycle, all beings, O son of Kunti, enter into my Prakriti. At the beginning of a cycle, I generate them again. So he said previously, all these world activities in the world, they're all going on. How? He does not do it by his presence. The other things will, all the activities go on. He is only a witness in this. He is completely unattached. Completely unattached. Though he is the one doing, he is not the one doing. He is there and he is not there. That is the situation. He is there in everything. I am in everyone, and then everyone is in me. I am not in everyone. The interpretation given is, it is this. I am unattached. Though I am here, I am not there. I am not here. So that situation, that is how the Lord works. And then so later on it comes. Later on we'll in the commentary, a man devoid of egotism and attachment, like the Lord, is free from the binding effect of action. Anyone working as the Lord works enjoys unimpaired freedom. Otherwise, remains bound by his action, like a silkworm in its cocoon. So, silkworm in a cocoon, it enters there, he is there, and then it is caught there. Like that, when you ordinary person works and then he is caught, now work like the Lord. That is the. So now he brings this about this universe, creation. Swamiji also discusses this. It's not creation, it's a projection. Evolution and involution, he talks about that. It is not that from nothing something came out. It is not like that. Something had been involved that starts evolving afterwards. So this cycle goes on. Evolution, involution, and evolution, involution, like that. Everything goes back to the seed form. The old example is there, the seed and the tree. The whole tree comes into the power of the tree, in the potential, goes into the seed. And then the seed you put in the soil, it slowly becomes the tree. Tree becomes the seed becomes the tree. like that it goes on. So the world is like that, universe is like that, all beings will come. The eighth, controlling my own prakriti, I send forth again and again all this multitude of beings helpless under the sway of Maya. Sri Ramakrishna gives an example, do you may remember that? It is like the old grandmother. At the end of the season she collects all the seeds and takes it, puts in a small bag. And when the next season comes, she puts and then all the squash or this or the cucumber, like that, all these things, they come up. Then again she collects the seeds, again she puts, like that goes on. When the season comes, like that the creation comes. Creation, and then the creation all will end in dissolution. Dissolution. What is that dissolution? Everything goes to the seed form. That is called dissolution. Not really, you won't be destroyed entirely. It will all become finer and finer, finer and finer, and again it comes back. So this is the cycle, one cycle or kalpa. What is this kalpa? How long does it take? Traditional, there are some calculations. I'll just read to you. I don't remember. I'll read it. Those who are interested, you can calculate. One cycle like this, one season to another, one creation, how long does it last? And then afterwards, again it comes back. According to tradition, traditional belief, the two solstices are the day and night of the gods. Summer solstice and another is winter solstice. It's called Ayana in Sanskrit. Therefore, are the days and nights of the gods. Therefore, 360 human years make 1 year of the gods. Now, time is divided into four ages, each age with a different duration. Krita age of 4,000 years, Treta age of 3,000 years, Dwapara is 2,000 years, Kali of 1,000 years. These plus 2,000 years of the transition period between these ages make all told 12,000 years. Are you noting down 12,000 years? 12,000 years. These are, however, the years of the gods.
What is the gods?
Years of the gods.
Years of the gods. Therefore, converted into human years, this would be 360 multiplied by 12,000. 432 followed by 4 zeros. How much is that? 432 followed by 4 zeros. 432 million. 4.32 million. Yes, 4.3. This is one yuga of the gods. One yuga. 1,000 such yugas make one day of Brahma, creator. Where are we now? That is 432, followed by seven zeros.
That's a lot.
Lot, that's not enough.
And that's one comma?
See, no, not yet. Not. Yes, yes. This is one yuga of the gods. 1,000 such yugas make the day of the Brahma. This is also called a kalpa. This is one cycle, a day of Brahma. One day, that's all. The whole kalpa, one cycle is one day of Creator. And then each Brahma in another place comes, he lives 100 years. So multiplied by 100, that is, Brahma also goes away. Creator also goes away. New Creator will come. Like a new president comes, new Creator will come. So this is the Puranic, mythological calculation, one kalpa. So after the kalpa is over, and there is another idea, we have talked about it. This kalpa, it's, Swamiji refers to it as a design theory. Say, put it bluntly, we are sitting here in this kalpa. Next kalpa, like this here, will be sitting here only. Exactly. Maybe different persons, maybe, because we will have achieved liberation. Next people. So things go on, continue like that, kalpa. That is called samsara, again and again, again and again, again and again, again and again, coming. So kalpa. So now you got an idea of kalpa. Long time. It's a long time. Those who are interested in numbers can have the number, this number. That 432 or 4,320 million or billion. Trillion years. So, at the end of the cycle, so what happens at the end of this long time? All beings enter into my Prakriti. They all, Prakriti is nature. These are the words used, Prakriti, Maya, nature. You can use it as nature. And then, at the beginning of a cycle, I generate them. I am there, operating. So I generate the beginning of the cycle, and I watch all the time how things are going, and then the end comes, they all go into seed form. They all become involved. Then afterwards, evolution comes. See here, Nature is not independent. Nature has power, but behind that, there must be the presence of God. Presence of the Spirit must be there. Because of this presence of the Spirit, this evolution takes place. That is one of the controversies between scientists and the philosophers and religious people. Scientists say nature is enough. Nature is autonomous. Here you say nature is not autonomous. Behind that, the presence of the Spirit must be there. Because He is present, He is shining, everything then shines. Katha Upanishad. He is shining, everything then shines. Because of His light, all these become lighted. Otherwise, they are as good as non-existent. So what do I do? Krishna is telling, I do this, I am there. By my mere presence, Prakriti does the job. This is one philosophy has been developed. That is what we call Sankhya philosophy. Have you heard of that? Sankhya philosophy. There are two ultimate entities, ultimate principles. One is the consciousness, another is matter or nature. So both nature is the active principle, and behind that consciousness is there, it simply sits. By his mere presence, all things go on. That is the idea. All work, the cosmology, the cosmic process takes place because of the presence of the consciousness, presence of Purusha, Purusha, Prakriti. These are the words, Purusha, Prakriti. Consciousness and then Prakriti is nature. At the beginning of a cycle, I generate them again. Controlling my own Prakriti, I send forth again and again all this multitude of beings helpless under the sway of Maya. They are helpless. This power of Maya, power of nature, is so strong, it takes place going on. Don't think that is independent because of my presence. I do that, controlling my own Prakriti. I am the controller. How do I control? By just being there, by just being in the presence, by being present, I control. The whole thing takes place. Again and again, all this multitude of beings, helpless under the sway of Maya. And these acts, O Dhananjaya, Dhananjaya is Arjuna, do not bind me, for I remain unattached to them as one unconcerned. Don't think, what does he say? Udasinam udasinam asaktam teshu karmasu. So they do not bind me, I remain unattached to them as one unconcerned. That is the key idea here in all these things. I am unconcerned, like unconcerned, I sit there and things take place. And later on he says, or earlier, you also do like me. That is the gist. What is the practical side of it? Immediately practical side of it is this. You also, I am working like this. This whole machine of this universe, it is going on. Billions of activities are taking place. They are all taking place because I am there. I control all of them. How do I control? How do I operate? Just by being there. Like that, you also have many things to do. We all say, you know, how many things I have got to do? I have to do this, I have to do that, I have to do this, hundreds of things. You also do like me. See, this is given in the battlefield. In the battlefield, how alert you should be, how strong you should be, and then how many things you have to take care of at the same time. All this you have to do. Do it. But do it like me. All the activities. You perform all your activities like me. Be like unconcerned. As though you are not at all concerned. Udasina. Just here as a witness, that's all. I just go. Say this heavenly valley, you go. So much is going on there. You go as a witness, as a spectator you go. Like that, be in your home, in your office, in your job, others' job, everything you do. That is the secret. Do not bind me, for I remain unattached to them as one unconcerned. Prakriti under my guidance gives birth to all the things moving and unmoving. Because of this, the world revolves. Under my guidance, all done under my guidance. Every little bit is under my guidance. And then I am there behind everything. And it is going on, and then gives birth to all things. Unconcerned witness. Fools disregard me when I assume a human form, for they are unaware of my higher nature as the Supreme Lord of all beings. This is, he goes to the another idea, the incarnation idea. You know, it is the same. He said, I all along. He said the Creator, and the unconcerned sitting, that takes the form of, that comes in the form of, in the form of a human being. Fools, this avajananti mam mudha manushim tanum ashritam param bhavam ajananto mam bhuta maheshwaram mayadhyakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam. This is 10th. Hetunanena kaunteya jagadviparivartate. With me as the adhyakshena, as the presiding witness, Udasina is sitting in a high position like that, like a judge, you know, in the court. You might have seen, I have not seen in the court. He's in the higher position, is it not? Others are there, and he sees everyone. He doesn't argue or he sees, and he has to give impartial judgment. He's there. Like that, you sit like that. The Lord sits like an impartial presiding witness, and then things take place. All these things take place. The wheel of the world keeps going. The wheel of life goes on. Let it go on. The same idea. All these activities go on. At the same time, the Lord is simply a witness there. Be like that. Be like that. Live like that. Work like that. You are an eternal witness. You are not. Though all this body is working, mind is working, your personality is working, all these are there. You make decisions, sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. All these things are happening. But you are there, a witness, that's all. That is our non-attachment, is that. Things are going on, but you are only a witness there, unconcerned. As one example is there, that Janaka, the great emperor, when the palace was burning, he was outside somewhere, and the information was given, nothing of mine is burning there. So nothing is happening. Is he careless? He was a well-known emperor of that time, highly enlightened, very efficient emperor. The feeling is this, inside feeling, nothing of mine is burned. Did he not try to extinguish fire? Did not try. He must have tried all those things. But the inside, it's like nothing of mine is burned. Let go. If it has to go, let it go. That attitude, the inner attitude, externally, all the thing that is necessary, everything is being done efficiently. But inner attitude is, nothing of mine is burned. Supposing something else is going on. Last year we saw fire was going on. We all watch fire. Nothing of ours is burned. fire department and the government and local agents, they take care of it. I just watch. The sightseeing. So, I do like that. And avajananti mamuda, not knowing my transcendent nature as the sovereign lord of all beings, fools condemn me incarnated as man. Fools, not knowing my transcendent nature, the sovereign lord of all beings, fools condemn me incarnated as man. Ordinary people don't know my nature. There are very few people recognize an incarnation. Krishna was recognized by a few. Jesus was recognized only by the few. Slowly, slowly, more people recognize him. So fools deride me, disregard me. Being of the deceitful nature of fiends and demons, they cherish vain hopes, perform vain actions, pursue vain knowledge, and are devoid of judgment. People, mogasha, mogakarmano, mogajnana, vichetasaha, rakshasi, masuri, chaiva, prakriti, mohinim, shitaha. Vain are the hopes, actions, and knowledge of those witless ones who have resorted to the delusive nature of monsters and devils. That means at different levels of ignorance. They are ignorant, immature, or these are the words used in Vedanta. Here he uses monsters and devils, rakshasim, asurin, chaiva, rakshasas, demons and fiends and all we call. Who are those? Ignorant. They're all ignorant. They don't recognize. They fought with Krishna, crucified Jesus. All such things people do or criticize Buddha. But there is the other side, other part. Mahatmanastu mam partha daivim prakriti mashritaha bhajanti anyamanasaho jnatva bhutadimavyayam. But there are others. But the great souled men, akshudra chiddhaha, great souled. Akshudra is mean. Akshudra is opposite of that. What do you say? Gentlemen, ladies? They who are endowed with divine nature, spiritual nature, worship me with undisturbed minds, knowing that I am immutable and the origin of all beings. They have the recognition, they can recognize the spiritual nature of these great ones, and then they worship me. Mahatma, great soul person, great, pure persons. Mam daivim prakritim, daivi prakriti, divine nature. In nature also there are two types, Devi, Sri Ramakrishna divides into two, vidya maya. One nature is there that will lead you towards freedom. Another nature is there that will lead you towards bondage. More and more you get entangled. So these people are daivi nature. They belong to the, they follow the maya of knowledge. Daivi. Divine nature, worship me with undisturbed minds. Bhajanti anyamanaso jnatva bhutadimavyayam. Knowing that I am immutable and the origin of all beings. They start practicing. What is this divine nature? Divine nature or following the maya of knowledge, they turn towards God. All these moral practices, spiritual practices, we see that, you know, in ourselves and in others too. More and more interested in spiritual life, taking delight in spiritual practices, like, and then even moral practices like charity and then love, even doing one's duties properly, all such things come. Otherwise, I don't feel happy. I feel miserable if I don't do it properly. Not that I get money or my job is secure, it is not that. Something inside tells me that I should do well. Or helping people, something within me, I should be helpful to my neighbor. So also the trend towards that, more and more towards that, that will lead us to more and more freedom. That is the first step in this divine nature, that is the first step. All our what we call moral nature slowly unfolds itself. And then afterwards, spiritual nature. Undisturbed mind, knowing that I am immutable, and slowly, first, unconsciously, we go on doing. Something tells me, say, more dharmic persons, you know, they may not believe in God or anything, but something tells me I shouldn't do that. I should be fair. Something tells me that. So, this divine nature is unfolding itself there. Slowly. You know, in one... in the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna meets Vidyasagar, Ishwar Chandra Vidyasagar. He was known to be very compassionate and very scholarly, Vidyasagara, ocean of learning, and very compassionate to people. But he did not believe in God, an agnostic. Sri Ramakrishna meets him. And they had nice conversation. Then afterwards, Sri Ramakrishna at the end says, touches his chest. There is gold hidden in you, but there is a thin layer covering there. Thin layer covering. Because inside it's all preparation is being done. It has been done. That is called sattva nature. Sattvic is very sattvic. It's because of that only this compassion has come. And where is compassion? Whose compassion is that? It is all coming from God, godly nature. And it is all there, about to burst open, but it's hidden there. Like. Then he would say, oh, all your things, and it'll all be reduced, all his activities and all that, when this opens up. So, this is all opening up the divine nature, and then indirectly he's being aware of the divine, and then a time comes when that thin layer comes off, then the realization is immutable. Knowing that I am immutable, with who are endowed with divine nature, worship me with undisturbed minds, one-pointed devotion, undisturbed mind. Ananya manasaha jnatva. More and more one-pointedness comes, you know. First start with shaky resolutions. Oh, I must do that. And then very, very soon some other attraction comes, it is left behind. Often it has happened, it happens in all our lives we can see. We make resolutions, then afterwards something else comes, and it is gone somewhere. All our pious resolutions are forgotten. But that becomes less and less, that happening. And afterwards, ananya manasa, undisturbed or one-pointedness will come more and more towards the spiritual realization. Ananya manasa jnatva bhutadim avyayam. My divine nature becomes aware of that more and more, more and more. Where is he? He is in the heart of everyone. Bhutadihi. He is the source of all existence. There is a source. God is the source. That he becomes aware of that more and more awareness. That spiritual awareness comes. First it is more objective. I must do good to people. I must be truthful. I must do this. I must do this. Like that, all these things come. But slowly, slowly, the mind goes inward. He is the source. Bhutadihi. Where is it coming from? It's all coming from deep within it is coming from. It is coming from God. That awareness comes. First we think it is all coming from somewhere. Oh, I read that book that inspired me. Afterwards I started this. It's all right. Or I met that person. Or something happened there. But all these are coming from inside. Bhutadihi. It is source of all beings. Imperishable source. And there's a perennial source. Inexhaustible. Imperishable source. It is coming from there. That means, in short, that spiritual nature, according to Advaita Vedanta, the spiritual nature of ourselves, spiritual awareness, the spiritual awareness is becoming more and more, one experiences more and more spiritual awareness. It's all coming from there, to one source. That is what we call God, in ordinary language, God. It's coming from God. Where is it coming from? From God. Or Atman, it is all coming from the Atman. And then, satatam kirtayanto mam yatantascha dhidavrataha namastyantascha mam bhaktya nityayukta upasate. So, here afterward comes our the practical side of it. Side of this is the chapter on Rajabuddhya, Rajavidya, Rajaguhya, that royal science, sovereign science, and then that secret, that mystery, that is becoming becoming revealed more and more, more and more, more and more, and his spiritual life is becoming more firm, more intense. So what happens? Satatam kirtayantaha, always declaring my glory, striving in steadfast faith, they do me devout homage, ever attached to me, they worship me. That worship of God, worship of the Spirit, it becomes more and more firm. Ever glorifying me, chanting, and then appreciating, and then studying, maybe philosophy. Oh, how inspiring these words are. Huh? That appreciation, more and more. It is not just, there, not words, not literary meaning. Something more is there, you know. Say the other day we are hearing Swamiji's lecture, or Jesus says something. It's not just words, not the idea only. There is something, some charm is there in that. So like that appreciation increases, that glorifying more and more through, here commentator says, with appropriate chants and hymns, and striving me with self-control, always striving me with self-control. Yatantashta dridhavrataha, dridhavrataha, they try, dridhavrataha, dridhavrataha, with determination. Things are done with determination, firmly doing that. Is there no difference? Things go on casually, but slowly, slowly, it is done with determination. That willpower is there, determined, will is put into it, heart is put into it. There is one description of that. That will stick to itiveness. Have you heard of that? Stick to it, make it stick to itiveness. So that mind acts that way. That means that steadfastness, nishtha. Nishtha, steadfastness comes because it catches you, you know, it holds you. Ordinarily, the other things of the world will hold you. Instead of that, this God holds you, catches you. Nana yagni, satatam kirtayantaha, declaring my glory, striving in steadfast faith, firmly doing things, no wavering. It is there, that's it. That kind of one-pointedness. Remaining firm in their vows, dridha vrata. Vrata is a vow. Doing it with determination, with a vow. I must do it. I must do it. Otherwise, you know, unless we do like that, things won't get done. Have you not seen that? Make up your mind and just do it. Otherwise, all right, tomorrow, day after tomorrow. Like that, it remains undone. But slowly, slowly in spiritual life, what happens? It must be done. That's why that expression is religiously doing. Religiously doing. That means it has to be done. There's no option. That's a vow. Mahatma Gandhi once said, I take a vow. They say, there's no meaning in taking a vow. As far as possible, I will do it. He gives an example. A cobra is coming. As far as possible, I save myself. Do you say that? So that means it's a question of life and death. Life and death question. We see that in the lives of these great devotees of God. God, spiritual life is life and death question there. It must be done. There is no other way. There is no choice. Here, why do you love God? Why do you practice all this? There is no choice. That is the one. Supreme. The word used is paramam. Paramam, or supreme. It is supreme. So God becoming the supreme. So more and more tending towards that. Not, it doesn't happen all at once like that. We tend towards that. When a person is practicing, so much of himself is into it, so much of firmness, so much of steadfastness, there's no other choice. What else can I do? Nothing can be done. This is all that is there for me. Dridhavrataha namasyantascha, devout homage, ever attached to me. Nitya yukta bhaktya, what does he say? Unwavering steadiness, bowing before me, they worship me with love. Achanchalyam ratam, that is the commentator. achanchalya. Achanchalya, chanchala is wavering, shaking. Without that, bowing before me, they worship me with love and unwavering. Before sacred images and holy men, images everywhere, bowing before me, before them, and with love and unwavering steadiness. So, like this, these are the great souls. Who are the great souls who are doing this? Or who are moving in that direction? More and more moving in that direction. So becoming firmer and firmer, and then the vows, the vrata, what one was doing in a casual way, it is becoming like a vow. That's why we take vows, you know. Swearing in, even the governments and all this, swearing in ceremony. So here also, we have marriage vows, brahmacharya vows, sannyasa vows. So to make ourselves strong, it's all meant to handle that monkey, mind. That waywardness is the nature of the mind. It wavers, shaky all the time. It doesn't get fixed. No, stay there. Do it. So that is why as an exercise, do it. You may not be really convinced or able to do it. As an exercise, just do it. If you do fail, doesn't matter, try again. So that one-pointedness is emphasized. With love and nityukta upasate, attached to me, worship me. Dana yajnena chapyanye yajanto ma upasate, ekatvena brutaktvena bahuda vishvato mukham. So others again, there are many methods in doing this. Others again offer the oblation of knowledge and worship me either as one with them or as distinct from them. Still others in various ways worship me whose form is the whole universe. He is everywhere, whole universe. In so many ways that form of God is there. Me, I am there whose ekatvena bhuda vishvato mukham. An infinite number of ways I can be reached. And then they do it in different ways. Dana yang offer oblation of knowledge as one with Brahman or different from him. It doesn't matter. There's separation or one with them in a dualistic way, non-dualistic way. All these are all right. When you say God, 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 who is that? My Atman is God. It's one with my Atman. That is fine. Or God is there, my father, my mother, my friend, that's also all right. As one with them or distinct from them. One with them or distinct from them. And still others in various ways worship me. What does the commentator say? As one with them, non-dualistic view, distinct from them, dualistic view. The Lord exists in the form of various deities or worshipper. Our worshipper is different from the Lord, his servant. Various deities are there. Millions of them. That is why we have the idea of Ishta Devata, you know. Ishta Devata. Whatever appeals to you, whatever name or form appeals to you, that's it. In that way you do. Become steadfast. He told earlier, mind should be, on what should we become steadfast? It is this, anything. Your own chosen deity. There you become steadfast there. As one with them or indistinct, still others in various ways worship me. Bahudha vishvato mukham. Dana yajna yajanto maam upasate. They are all worshipping me only. That is the idea. In whatever way they were worshipping, they are all worshipping that one without a second, who is in the heart of everyone and who is the witness of everything. He is the, your, they are all worshipping that one only. And then goes on. I am the sacrifice. I am everywhere. I am the sacrificial vow. I am the sacrifice. I am the ancestral oblation. I am the herb. I the sacred text. I the clarified butter. I the fire. I the burnt offering. We say Brahma Arpanam, Brahma Havihi, Brahma Agnav. It is all Brahman. That is a sacrifice or any action, different. What happened?
Huh? Oh, all. People are feeling warm, I think.
Oh, it's all right. So that Brahmarpanam, like that, every part of the act, so one action, one example taken is a sacrifice. And then we use it for before eating. Brahmarpanam, that spoon is Brahman, and then Brahma, Brahmagno, Brahmarpanam, Brahma Havihi, food is Brahman. Like that, all parts of activity is all Brahman. And one who acts like that goes to Brahman only. So he's telling, I am all this. Pitamaham ahamasya jagato mata dhata pitamaha vedyam pavitram omkara uruksam yajurevacha. Of this universe, I am the father, mother, creator, grandsire. I am what is to be known, the sacred syllable Om, the Rig, all the different Vedas, all these are mine. So these are all for our meditation or practices to develop that spiritual attitude. It's all there. Whatever we see, it is God is present in that. To try to see God in everything, in our heart, in the heart of everyone else and everything else, the self of everything, my own self, like that in different ways, according to the temperament, according to the need, we are supposed to see that. You know. So all this, so much of freedom, freedom of thought, freedom of practice, this is actually the freedom of religion is this. Freedom of spiritual life. You can do this way. Provided you have that determination and then order, seriousness, do it in whatever way you want. And guidelines are given. So all this, I am there in everyone, right? And then nature of me, it comes still further. Nature of me and relationship with God. You develop your own relationship. Say, I have my friend. I do it in my way only. Where else, what else can I do? We may use the word friendship, love. That's a very broad word with broad meaning. The way in which is done, the details of that, left to each individual. I do it in my way, you do it in me. I may laugh, I may smile, or I may go and then hug, and then someone may be quietly show his love. Like that, many, many ways they are there. Like that, you relate to God in so many different, your way, swadharma. Lord is talked about swadharma, your way, you do that. And what is wanted is that contact. That contact, that steadfastness, that is common.
Gatir bharta prabhu sakshi nivasa sharanam suhrut prabha pralayam sthanam nidhanam bijam avyayam
All right, we'll take up that tomorrow. So now he is describing all these different ways of the reality, how it can be, in different ways it can be contacted. Then other methods will come more. This is actually, according to many, it is a chapter on devotion, bhakti, bhakti. That is, a relationship is talked about, how to relate to God, how to relate to God, how from our relationship, ordinarily we know how to relate to, say, I have my car, and I have my friend, I have my mother, I have my father, I relate in different ways. How God, how should turn that relationship with God, shift more and more, how to go to God there, you know. My relationship with all God only. I have nothing to do with you. I have my relationship with God. How to do that? So various ways are talked about. That is actually the immediate subject matter for us. All right, let me stop here. So it's all clear, nothing to discuss.
May I ask, I think I have three questions that are all interrelated.
One by one.
Does the Gita suggest that science will prove the existence of Brahman from an investigation of the material world?
Say that again.
Well, does the Gita suggest that science will prove the existence of God?
Science, does science prove the existence of God? Yes and no. Yes. In this way, they have to go deep enough. A scientist is there, he is focusing his mind on truth, scientific truth. And he has to go deeper and deeper. There is more to it. And then, the time comes, mere intellectual investigation is not enough. The mind should be pure. Because ordinarily the scientist says, you know, very focusing, concentration is enough. That's all. It doesn't matter, a scientist is moral wreck, or it doesn't matter. He's a scientist, he's a great scientist. But when you come to spiritual life, that person has to purify the mind too. The purified mind has to be focused. Yes, he will get it. Prove means, after that he will come and say it is there. Your doubt will still remain. He has proved for himself. He cannot objectively show you. For that you should be prepared, then you will see it. It's a very, very private and individual experience. That's why our people are telling, Sri Ramakrishna is telling, Swamiji is telling, Brahman is there in everyone, you are that. It doesn't mean much to us. Unless we are prepared to receive the truth. Like that, a scientist, if he does, quite all right. This to be have followed. The mind has to be prepared for that. So far the mind has, the scientists have not gone to that realm. Not only that, they are so reluctant and then in fact they hate it. They don't like the word of such thing, purification and all the. You go to Berkeley and tell the research scholars, hey, you have to purify your mind. They say anything connected with smelling of religion, spiritual life and all that, they don't like it. Especially the Orthodox scientists, they're so close-minded, you know. Even psychologists, in one article I read, he's timidly making some statements. If my colleagues hear this, they don't like it. Mm? They don't like that. See, science has to become really science. That really they should become impartial. It is not yet come to that stage. Not yet come to that stage. That kind of maybe touching upon someone like Einstein, maybe doing a little knocking at the door. But generally scientists are no. Yet to grow. But if you take, not scientists, science if you take, yes. That is why this is science of sciences. Rajavidya, royal science. There is physics, there is chemistry, there is mathematics, there is computer science, all the. But this is science of sciences. Adhyatma Vidya Vidyanam. This is the true science. Science wants to know the truth. This is the truth. Science wants to know truths, different truths. But here the truth of truth you are going. Scientific method of discrimination. That objectivity, keep that detachment. I want to know the truth. I am not for Nobel Prize or this or that name or fame. I want technology, how much benefit it is going to bring to people. It is not the concern. I want to know the truth, just truth. That is the real scientific spirit. And the ability to find facts. This is not the fact. No, this is fact. Go on fact-finding. If they continue like that, certainly that is where the Vedanta method, also the spiritual method, also is the same method. But more drastic, that's all. More serious.
So that relates to the second question, which is, does the Gita therefore say that we are inevitably moving toward truth without really any choice?
That's it. That's it. We're all moving towards that. We're all moving. Everyone is moving. As Swamiji says, you know, it's not from error to truth, from lower truth to higher truth we are going. It is true only. We are going to the higher truth. That is why Shankaracharya makes it three levels of truth. One truth is like a dream. Say, last night I dreamt something. That is true only for me. Only for when I'm sleeping. When I wake up, it is not there. That kind of truth. Or a magic, illusory truth. Pratibhasika satya. And another truth is there, passing. It is there, it goes on for a while, then it disappears. That is vyavaharika satya. All these empirical truths are like that. It is there and afterwards it is not there. Say our retreat, we are going on, after some time it is not there. It is over. Our life, the body is there, it is growing and growing, then afterwards it is not there. That kind of truth. But there is another kind of truth. unchangeable, eternal. That is what we call God, or the truth of truths, paramarthika satya. So these are all are true, but of this grade, this type of truths. All right, what's your question?
All right, so from the cosmic point of view here, we're talking about evolution and devolution, or involution. So I've had this theory for a long time that man is really part of a evolutionary process that's self-destructive. It's a law of entropy, is a law of nature. Man is decay. And it seems that we can't help ourselves but participate in that global warming, etc. Now, I think that there's a contradiction in the idea that we're moving toward this God consciousness, this ultimate truth, through a number of cycles, when it seems that the cycles are somewhat self-destructive.
So much?
They're self-destructive. That we move from evolution to involution. There must be entropy that's occurring along the way. It is said that these cycles repeat themselves.
Yes.
So I'm a little confused about movement toward consciousness, toward perfection, toward God realization, when we tend to devolve and destroy ourselves.
It is put this way, you know. What you call evolution, involution, it's only for the empirical self. The true self is not involved in the evolution and involution. That's what he is telling. He's sitting there. He's not involved. God doesn't involve or evolve. It's only for the mind. The other than the what we call nature or what we call, that goes on like that. So as far as the Atman or God is concerned, no evolution or involution. My true I doesn't involve or evolve. He's ever perfect, ever free. He's just sitting there. But what has happened through Maya, through ignorance, it has identified itself with this evolution and involution, the samsara. This is called samsara. Evolution, involution, samsara chakra, the wheel of samsara, this world or life. So what is wanted is, in this process, detachment is the thing. This cycle is going on, the wheel is moving, and then I'm holding it. Then I think I'm also involving and evolving. No, let go. That is what we are doing. Let go thy hold, sannyas in bold. Let go thy hold. That is why in every practice it is let go. Why are you holding on to it? That's why you think you are also shaking. This wheel is moving, you hold on to the wheel. Who asked you to hold on to the wheel? That is called ignorance. You are dumb. So, let go. So, everywhere the practice is let go.
So, is this to suggest that the empirical world is God's merry-go-round and we just have the choice to get off one?
That's it. That's why go to the Lord. Go to the Lord. Your awareness, consciousness should be towards God. So that is why renunciation, Swamiji says, renunciation is religion. He makes two statements. Renunciation is religion. Religion is realization. Religion is realization. Religion is renunciation. That's all the thing. Why are you holding on to it? It comes in various ways.
Does the limited within the material world, you know. Nothing, that's all in samsara. And all this entropy going on is a chaotic that's coming to us. All true, maybe true, maybe not sure. Maybe true, but that's only related to this nature, to the natural, to this world of material and energy, that's it. So spirit is not included in the sphere of action, sphere of thinking. So
but it also seems as physics is moving toward a place where they understand that there's an awareness, that there's an observing something, there's the God particle they're spending billions of dollars trying to find. Really, I mean, in France, they just built the
sun, and that's now it's under it, I know that. But the thing is, it's your thinking, everything. When Einstein taught that, Niels Bohr did not think that. Most scientists are agnostics. Personally, some of them have that kind of, they get joy in connecting.
See, even scientists, say, honest scientists, they agree what they have been doing is very little, even at the physical level. How much? That is why we should go to the scientific spirit, scientific methods like that only, scientific ideal. We should go to the more subtle side of science. If you take some of these examples, and they themselves say, I have told you many times, there is a book called Encyclopedia of Ignorance, written by top scientists. It came in 1970s or the 60s, that book. What we know, one scientist writes, what we know is very little. For 1 ounce of knowledge, there is a what is the word used? You know, an Atlantic Ocean of ignorance is there. Very little is known. That's why we should go to the scientific method, scientific spirit, scientific ideal. Only in terms of ideal we can speak of. Ideal, yes. Scientists are going towards truth. Let them proceed further. The more and more from lesser truth to higher truth, higher truth, they let them come to the truth. For that certain qualifications are necessary. Preparation is necessary. Now so far it's the concentration of mind. But the time comes, mere concentration of mind is enough, not enough. The moral side of it has to be taken into account. Even as, you know, they talked about the moral side, they were shocked. The science produced an atom bomb and then so many people died. They were all shocked. What have we done? Where is the moral side of the whole issue? So that's very narrow and small thing only is doing what we call science now. Other things are not included, especially the moral side, right or wrong. Truth at that level. So if they can pierce through all these things, yes. A scientist is supposed to have the detachment, discrimination, all these things will come. Supposing he is selfish, he will see that is an obstacle for further investigation. Self-centeredness is there, or anger, jealousy, lust, or greed. Such things are coming in the way. In my research, he will find out. That should be cleared. Mind should be still more transparent. This ordinary transparency we talk about, that is already all right for ordinary purposes. For higher truth, that's not enough. so many levels, but the physical level is there, and then the energy level, then every individual ego level, all the truth in all the levels, in and through all these. These are all the different sheets. It is still at the most mental level. Slowly, please.
It seems like one of those paradoxes again, where the non-proof is the proof. I think science is advancing the spiritual life by not being able to prove that it does not exist. Therefore, they must move toward that. And in the same way, realization
So science, by telling it doesn't believe in God, it makes us go towards God, is it?
Not saying they don't believe in it, they can't.
We don't know. Agnostic.
They cannot prove that it does not exist, and therefore they must move toward the unknown.
See, it is not just an intellectual hunger. When you come to spiritual life, there is a deeper hunger is there in this. Awakening of the spiritual sense inside. It is not that intellectual curiosity. There is a hunger. Hunger for God. In spite of all this intellectuality and all that, there is hunger. You know, in the Chandogya Upanishad, there is a story. One student, Narada, goes to his teacher. Teacher asks, "What have you read?" He gives the big list. He was a great scholar. All this. But still there is a gap inside, a vacuum inside, a sadness inside. And the teacher slowly takes him, try this, I am expanding it a little, try this, this one. Then he tries, "I don't see anything really enjoyable here." So then this one, finally he goes to the infinite. Satisfaction is only in the infinite. Yo vai bhuma nalpe sukamasti. Anything finite will not give you that bliss. It's only in the infinite. So trying, all these people have tried this, you know. So anything finite is not...
gets you back to God sooner or later. Science is just another one of those distractions in the world.
Science is a distraction.
Hmm?
Science is a distraction.
Yeah, it's Maya. Isn't it?
That is true. But Maya, two types of Maya, that's what is. One type helps you to go towards truth. Another type is the opposite of that. vidya and avidya. Maya of knowledge, maya of ignorance. There are two types of maya. Yes, it is all maya, no doubt about that. But one helps.
Well, even the one that doesn't help, I mean, we can't keep making the right turns every time. You have to make mistakes to figure out what the right turn is. So it seems like you need both vidya and avidya.
No, they're there. You don't, whether you want it or not, they're already there. They're already there. And we are in it. Mixture is there. So more and more develop this vidya maya, maya of ignorance, maya of knowledge. That is what we do, that our meditation, prayer, holy company, or incarnation, teacher, all these are maya of knowledge. They lead you to God, lead you to truth. Whereas the other one becomes more and more involved in all this. Maya of ignorance, maya of knowledge. A good scientific mind is very helpful to spiritual life. A good scientific mind. That is what we call vichara, vichara, discrimination, inquiry, that spirit of inquiry. But it is scientific mind. We ordinarily say, we keep a computer and then, no, we are interested in science. That kind of thing won't do. It is the mind we are talking about. Not this technology or the benefits we get from technology, it is not that. That scientific spirit, especially that spirit of inquiry, detachment. A true scientist is a very detached person. He wants to know the truth. He doesn't want to stick on to something. Yesterday we were talking like and dislike in the morning. Oh, I like this. I don't like this. That's not the language of a scientist. The science is a very general term. No. We are talking about science in a very general term. Even for arts also, the science is there behind. Yes, yes, in that sense only, in a very wide sense, science. Science and religion, Swamiji brings that issue many times, you know. How all are moving, both are moving towards the same truth. Because ultimately it is all one. It has to come together. Two names are given, that's all. It is one. Truth is one. They just call it by different names. You please take the volume 1 of Swamiji, if it's there. There's something there.
Science and religion will shake
hands. Yes, we'll see. You cue me. Nivedita writes the introduction to Swamiji's complete works. No, this is life. I want the works.
this introduction to complete verse, Nivedita says, your art also has come, wait, we'll see. To him, that's about Swamiji, she's speaking. To him, the workshop, the study, the farmyard, and the field are as true and fit scenes for the meeting of God with man as the cell of the monk or the door of the temple. To him, there's no difference between service of man and worship of God, between manliness and faith, between true righteousness and spirituality. All his words, from one point of view, read as a commentary upon this central conviction. Art, science, and religion, he said once, are but three different ways of expressing a single truth. But in order to understand this, we must have the theory of Advaita. So art, science, and religion. Art also is included. See, this is what I was searching for. If the many and the one be indeed the same reality, then it is not all modes of worship alone, but equally all modes of work, all modes of struggle, all modes of creation, which are paths of realization. No distinction henceforth between sacred and secular. To labor is to pray, to conquer is to renounce. Life is itself religion. To have and to hold is as stern a trust as to quit and to avoid. So science comes under that. See, so far, art has been included in religion, in terms of painting and music and then singing and so many different ways. Art is included, through art going towards God. But why not through science also going towards God? Why should we not go? Because they're all going towards the same truth. So your question is answered. Yes.
The artists, they are also creators, whether in music or painting, they are always creating with their spirit. Most of them, some of them are not, but most of them are also spiritual kind of. They're believing in their mind, inside their mind, they're believing in God while creating something through which they try. But scientists is a personal matter. Some scientists have been very.
That is why.
Boundary away from.
Art is.
Spirit.
Art is more ancient. Art is more ancient. We find through that art people reaching God. Like Nada Brahma, some musicians reaching God. And then there are painters. The making that painting as one of the yogas, you know,
in Bhakti Yoga, they're all included in Bhakti Yoga. Going towards God through developing the aesthetic side. Like that, why not scientific side?
Then one day it will be.
Huh?
In future, one day it may be.
No, we can see that. We can see that. In olden days, that all came under Jnana Yoga, that's all. What you are talking about, science. What is that? That inquiry, spirit of inquiry, and a very detached mind, honest mind, and then we want to know the truth, and then struggle, make experiments, observe them, and go forward like that. That is our Jnana Yoga, is that. Examine what is this body, examine what is this mind, and they all did not through a lab or your NASA, or it is not that. It is done in the forest, in their own hearts. It can be done in their own hearts. The same process they underwent in their own hearts. In the Taittiriya Upanishad, you see, the disciple wants to know the truth. First instruction given was tapasa brahma vijignasasva. You concentrate, you practice discipline, all kinds of tapas, discipline of the mind, discipline of the body, that is necessary for this research. So he comes and tells, oh, I have done it. Body is Brahman, matter is Brahman, annam brahmeti vyajana, anna, matter is Brahman. His research took him only up to that. And then come, further you go. How? Practice more tapas. More tapas you practice. So he did that, he comes, the biological man. Life is Brahman, life principle is Brahman, prana. Like that it goes on, then he comes, mind is Brahman. Go further, go further, go further. And then he finds it. So that is our science. But it is all done within. Mind is used. Jnana, jnana, more and more jnana there. That's why Upanishad is called this jnana part of the Vedas. Jnana Kanda, not Karma Kanda. The first one is all sacrifices, prayers and all that. This one is Jnana Kanda. So that is science. They did in that way. It's all done within, by going within the specimen. Specimen, you don't have to go in, because when everything is Brahman. Brahman is everywhere. Why do you take the trouble of going to the lab or this or that? Right in your own heart. Who am I? That's a very scientific method, you know. Who am I? Inquire into it. And you will find it. And more layers of ignorance are removed. And more light comes. I have found it. You say, the teacher will say, no, you're a student still. Go further. Sri Ramakrishna's small story is there in a woodcutter. Go forward, there is more to it. Final word has not been said. That's what science says. There was one conference in Bangalore during Swamiji's centenary, arranged by our ashrama, It is this. The scientist, there is one famous science institute in Bangalore. Most of you know, Indian Institute of Science. Even now it is recognized as an international institute. We invited some of the professors from there, scientists, and other religious leaders also on, from one side, all put together some discussion about all these things. You know, in books and then in the teachings we find this is the highest realization of Brahman, is the highest. One scientist, a chemist, he raised objection to that. You see that is where the science is superior. We don't believe that. Knowledge means it is infinite, and then the last final word has not been said. You are saying the final word, this is the highest, this is the last, like that. We scientists can't agree to that. Later on, there is one lecture, Swami Ranganathanji was given a lecture, where our American ambassador to India presided over that lecture. I was also there. Swami took up this question. Has the final word been said? This is it. This is Brahman, there's more, no more to it. I was watching what he's going to say. Because I remembered this conference. He was very nice. He said, no. Final word has not been said. Because knowledge is infinite. We can't make it finite like that. This is it, this is the last. You can't say that. This is the highest, you can't say. Tomorrow, scientific spirit is, tomorrow you find something more. We can't say computer, this is all it can do, iPhone, this is all you can do. Do you believe that? No. Many, many things more can be done from that. Knowledge is like that. That is a scientific way. Or Ramakrishna comes and says, yes, we also say the same thing. Go forward, there's more to it, more to it, more to it, more to it. And then that example of that ant going to a sugar hill. One ant went and ate one crystal from that big mountain of sugar. And it filled its stomach. As a reserve, it took one more crystal and put it in its mouth. He said, next time when I come, I will take the whole hill. That is how we are moving about God. Or the salt doll goes to measure the depth of the ocean. It is there 1 foot or so. It is measuring. By the time it went to one foot or a little more, it got dissolved. Then who is to tell us the depth of the ocean? They're all thoughts for deep reflection. That means it is infinite. That is what the science says. At least present day science. Last century they were not saying that. They were so fanatic. This is it. They used to say that. Now they don't say that. Infinite scope is there for knowledge. So knowledge is infinite. Bhuma is infinite. When you say God, we mean that. That is about science. That is why science and religion, why should you think they are antagonistic? One can take the help of the other. Somehow science wants to prove it is superior to all this art and all this. That is so much has gone into the modern psyche, you know. Even in our school, there are students who are taking physics, chemistry, they always consider themselves superior to those who are studying history, geography. Don't you, you know, observe that? Yes. Huh? How about here? Here, one of our friends, philosophy professor, she used to say, their attendance in their classes was dwindling. The idea is because of this, you say, when you take philosophy, the teacher himself asks this question, if you take up this philosophy, what do you eat afterwards? That means there is no, you can't earn money, you can't do this, whereas science is all there. So science colleges, they're considered to be very science students moving about like peacocks. We are superior like that. And then the whole system also encouraged that, you know. Those who got higher grades and all, they all went to science. And the leftovers were this, history, economics, logic, especially in college, logic means two students sitting there, that's all. Logic, philosophy, classes. Even literature. Even I asked my professor after my junior college, from science I will change over to the literature, English literature. English professor, see, I will get you admission in the medical college, you become a doctor, you go. That is the advice he gave me. Of course, Sri Ramakrishna planned in some other way. So that, call it, arrogance of science is there. Science, scientific spirit. Oh, we should go.